What a matchup.
And what a team, Mike. Metro PCS and the iPhone SE for $0 on a network that covers 99% of people in the U.S. Oh, impressive.
Play with the best. Switch to Metro PCS and get a 32 gig iPhone SE for $0. Metro PCS. Coverage not available in some areas, plus sales tax and $10 activation fee. Claim based on talk and text. Not valid for active numbers currently on a T-Mobile network or active on Metro PCS in the past 90 days. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Take the baseline out. Uh-huh. Here we go.
Let it bump, though. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Hardwood Knox Podcast. I am Dan Favalli, coming at you from an unknown location in Colorado without my podcast equipment. And I am joined, as usual, by my super-duper, incredibly esteemed, awesome times awesome, fantabulous, spectaculario, floor-to-ceiling shocked that Enes Kanter picked up his player option worth $18.6 million for next season, co-host Andrew D. Bailey. How are you doing?
Oh, yeah. Andy? I'm stunned. we were just talking about that before. I mean, that news just broke 2 minutes ago, basically, that Enes Kanter is going to pick up his option. When that, I don't even remember who first started the reporting on that said that
it was
he
Kanter.
Was considering not picking it up.
He, like, at the end of the season, he said, I'm leaning towards opting out, basically.
Oh, man, I don't even remember that. That's pretty funny. It just makes no sense. And it's a pretty good starting point for this discussion, and it's a discussion we've had probably like 20 times at this point, but there's just so little cap space available this summer, especially for big men. Opting out of $18.5 million would have just been insane.
There, and I was like rounding this up the other day, there are 14 teams that need to shed salary or let someone go or need contract negotiations with incumbent free agents to break right for them to avoid the luxury tax. Then there are three more teams who probably won't but could very easily fall into luxury tax territory with the Bucks, Hornets, and Grizzlies. That's 17 of the league's 30 teams have to worry, at least concern themselves about entering the luxury tax next year. There is no money. None.
Yeah, and if all those teams want to unload and there's only like three or four teams that will take salary on, the math just, in so many different ways, does not add up.
The only teams that we know that are going to be willing to take on money is Atlanta, because their GM, Travis Schlenk, said as much. At the same time, they tried to dump Bazemore in the Doncic trade.
That's true.
And then the other two teams that people have mentioned most as salary dumping grounds, the Kings and the Bulls, if both those teams are willing to take on bad money, kudos to their front offices. I do not trust either front office enough.
Did you saw that the Kings are interested in LaVine too, right?
That seemed like a leak from LaVine's camp, because there's no way there's any interest in him.
Yeah.
Well,
I wouldn't put it past the Kings, man.
If they sign Zach LaVine to play with Buddy Hield and Bogdan Bogdanovich after they pass on Luka Doncic, they are batshit out of their minds.
Yeah, that would not be wise.
But that's the point, is just that of the Bulls and the Kings, the teams that are positioned to absorb the contracts in tandem with the Atlanta Hawks, I don't trust their front offices enough to actually do that. I could see them looking at the market and being like, oh, hey, no one has money. This is our time to strike. And then before you know it, Chicago has tendered a 4-year, $74 million offer to Rodney Hood, and the Kings have signed another power forward because they can never have enough of those.
I keep thinking the Bulls will be a team that might make a run at Jabari Parker too.
Just because he's a hometown guy? I mean, if they do that after drafting Carter and having Markkanen, that would be franchise malpractice.
That's true. That's true. There's been a lot of backpatting of Garpax for the last couple of days. Have you noticed that? Because they were one of the only teams that kind of saw this weird summer coming. So maybe they deserve some.
Do you know what my counterpoint to that is?
Yeah, go ahead.
Cristiano Felicio's contract.
Yeah, and one of the places I heard it was on Lowe's podcast, and they even said, you know, the Felicio contract notwithstanding, they're still set up better than most teams right now. But like you said, I wouldn't be totally surprised. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see them kind of blow that all up this summer with a crazy deal for somebody. But I like kind of where they're situated right now. A Carter Markkanen front court is super interesting to me.
That actually, they were the team when they picked Wendell Carter, and I have not been, not that I haven't been high on him, just that I've been indifferent to him, but you put him with Markkanen and suddenly everything's like, wow, that's probably the most interesting situation he could have ended up in.
Yeah, those two are like perfect puzzle pieces to me, but we'll see. Should we jump into this mailbag?
Yeah, I just want to, since we started off the podcast by bashing the Bulls and the Kings as our new intro, I just want to remind everyone to please, pretty please, with sugar and cherries on top, continue to rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes, the best way to help out the podcast and provide us with feedback. Right now, you should see the look on Andy's face when he realizes that the number of ratings have gone up. It's priceless. I've never actually seen it myself, but I've heard rumors that it's fantastic. You can also find us wherever podcasts are offered, with the exception of Spotify, which is apparently delaying our request now by like a zillion months. So you can rate, review, and subscribe to us anywhere you get your podcasts. But iTunes, again, please take the 10 to 15 seconds out of your day. Rate, search Hardwood Knox. Click those 5 stars because you know this is a 5-star podcast. And leave a comment. We like hearing what you, or excuse me, we like reading what you have to say. And as always, you can continue to get 15% off at the NBA Math Shop. That's nbamath.com/shop. Promo code Benno, B-E-N-O. And kind of before we get started, can I just tell you, I feel naked without my normal podcasting equipment. Like, I just have the Apple Pods in, AirPods in right now, and I feel naked.
Well, that's how I feel every time, because I'm very cheap and I still need to buy a podcast microphone. By the way, what are you doing in Denver?
So one of my best friends is preparing for a move to Philly. And I'm just here for like squeezing in one last visit. We thought we'd have time to like do stuff during the week, but I've been working like crazy since I've been here. So I'm hoping to get some hardcore brunching in later today and on Saturday. And then I'm leaving. I'm tempting the fates. I'm leaving just before free agency starts. So I'm going to be up in a plane. Hopefully it has Wi-Fi.
You are definitely tempting.
I wasn't going to leave on July 1st because it's a Sunday.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I need to get out of here on Saturday, and at least LeBron will have made his opt-in or opt-out decision by then.
Yeah, that would be nice. I've been waiting for like the Woj or the Shams.
It's coming at 11:59
for 2 days
Eastern
now.
Time on Friday. That's when it's coming.
There's just been so much smoke so far this summer and no real fires yet. I guess the Dwight Howard trade happened, which there was no smoke for that, so that's different too.
What do you think LeBron does really quickly, since it'll be dated like 10 hours after this podcast?
I was just thinking today, this is so much of what we say today is probably gonna like look crazy in a day or two. I think, oh my goodness, I'm gonna say he opts out and just signs as an outright free agent with the Lakers.
Oh man, it's funny because if he opts in, he actually increases his options of where he can go, because it's easier to trade for him. A team like the Rockets could get involved, or another dark horse potentially. I said this in the previous episode with the Ringer's Haley O'Shaughnessy, because she picked the Lakers as well. That's just like, I'm not a big, you need to do this for your legacy guy, and this isn't what I'm basing it off of. I just find that move to be lame. Like, oh, you're going to go there and not beat the Warriors because you have no bench?
It doesn't particularly excite me either. I feel like there's too many signals at this point.
I am 0-2 on his free agency decisions, and I'm really doubling down on this. He's not going to the Lakers thing. It'll be Cavs or Rockets.
I was going to say, do you think he stays 0-3? Okay. You got the Rockets in the mix still.
If he opts out, it's over. But I'm just – if he wants to beat the Warriors – it's just Houston's objectively the best place to go for the next 2 years.
Yeah, that's probably true. Did you see the Stephen A. Smith thing a couple days ago?
Which one? The one where he texted Durant? The one where Kawhi doesn't want to play with LeBron? That dude has been all over the place lately.
Yeah, he is all over the place. And who knows how much truth there is to it. But I would die laughing if Kevin Durant left the Warriors and played with LeBron in L.A. And I think it would like... I think it would be somehow like a less villainous type move. Like, I don't think he'd catch as much crap for that as he did for going to the Warriors.
No, people would love him for it because they're like the casual fan is kind of bored with the Warriors. Lowe did say in his piece, if you read his like monster free agency primer,
I have it open. I haven't run through it yet though.
It literally, like, I read it at the gym last night, and it took me like 20 minutes to get through just because like I was trying to like reread it and like pour over it. There's so much goodies in there. You got to get to it. But he even said no one around the league really knows Kevin Durant's intentions. And while he's going to go back to Golden State now, if he signs like a 1+1 or a 2+1, all bets are kind of off in 2019 or 2020.
I think he should just start over now. I put a Twitter poll up on this the other day, and I think the masses got it wrong. LeBron, Durant on the Lakers and whatever pieces they have left. So assume maybe like a couple of the young guys and I don't know, a bunch of veteran minimums to fill out the roster versus the Warriors without Durant. Which team are you picking? I think I'm still going with the Warriors.
So am I, 100%.
I mean, LeBron.
Twitter picked the Lakers.
Oh yeah, they picked the Lakers.
Your Lakers following is more robust than I thought.
I know, it's crazy. They've been skewing polls left and right lately. But I thought about it, and I thought, you know, LeBron made it competitive with two pretty bad Cleveland teams in this 4-year stretch. So if you give him Kevin Durant, who knows what happens? But I still think overall the Warriors would just be a better team. Their starting lineup would just become Curry, Thompson, Iguodala, Draymond, and Jordan Bell, and I think that's still just a monstrous five.
Yeah, it's
a five that's so like perfectly tailored to play with each other too.
Right, and I don't want to see Durant leave the Warriors though for at least the next 2 years because I'd like to see a team really take like a real shot at these Durant era Warriors, kind of like the Rockets did this year.
Yeah.
That's of interest to me. Selfishly, I don't want to see LeBron go west because then the East just turns into a shit show. I don't care too much about the Celtics or the Sixers. They're going to be good, but the Sixers are not going to be on the Warriors level next year. The Celtics might, but that's one team. Like, at least any team with LeBron, I think they probably get rolled over by the Warriors anyway, but at least you say, well, it's LeBron, you get to look at his final streak, and I don't want to see him go west in general, but if he goes west, literally any team other than the Lakers would interest me more. There are 14 other destinations I would be more intrigued by, including the Warriors.
Well, there's still the chance that he goes to the Jazz.
Yeah, him, anyway. Paul George, and then Kawhi Leonard via trade or contract next year along with Klay Thompson and Jimmy Butler, all at the minimum.
And we keep Donovan, Joe Ingles, all the fans.
Welcome to the Total Wireless Store, where total confidence awaits.
I need to keep up with my teens this summer without sweating high cell phone bills.
Don't worry. You got this with Total Wireless. We have plans to fit all your family's needs starting at just $25 on the nation's best 4G LTE network.
I won't miss a thing.
Now you can focus on the important stuff, like arguing about curfew.
Discover the Total Wireless Stores and get total confidence. The latest phones, the best network, all at great prices. Now open in New York. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at TotalWireless.com.
The Honda 4th of July sales event has brilliant deals on our most popular vehicles, like the Civic, Fit, and Pilot. It's a reason to celebrate across the country. From the Liberty Bell to Hollywood and even back up to Niagara Falls. So come discover the 2018 KBB.com best overall brand during the Honda 4th of July sales event. Now at your Honda dealer.
Based on 2018 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book, visit KBB.com for more information.
And favorites.
But you get rid of Rudy Gobert, right?
Oh, how dare you. I have a question from Houdini Jazz.
Let's get into this mailbag that we've delayed for 12 minutes.
Yeah. At Houdini Jazz, who does not have a Jazz-related question. He asks, is there a better fit for Dwight Howard than the Golden State Warriors? And this is, so Dwight Howard, as most of you, I'm sure, know, was traded last week for
Jonathan
Mozgov. He's now on the Nets, but they haven't done the buyout yet. We talked about it the day of the trade that we thought that was a possibility that he would get bought out because it just doesn't make sense to play him over Jared Allen. I assume that's probably coming down the line, and then he'll be a free agent. And I think a lot of people have understandably said that it'll be the Warriors. I guess that kind of makes sense to me, especially if they unload all the centers that they had this year. Like JaVale McGee might not be back. Zaza Pachulia might not be back. I don't know. I think it can make sense in that JaVale McGee role. I haven't put a ton of thought into where else he might go. Do you have any other ideas for him?
I want to see him in Golden State just so that there's a chance maybe he's on the floor in crunch time and he just posts up while Stephen Curry and Kevin Durant are standing beyond the arc watching him. I don't personally think the Warriors are a good fit, if only because in a vacuum, yes, for what he should do, but I'm done with what Dwight Howard should do. It's what he's going to do, and their locker room is probably solid enough to navigate.
You know what's funny?
Whatever.
Keep going after I do this, but somebody responded to Houdini, go the distance 49, and he says, follow up, could Dwight Howard make Golden State collapse from within?
Right, he probably
right along with what you're saying.
He probably can't, but I wouldn't take the chance if I'm the Warriors. Nick Young is fine. Dwight Howard, no. And I kind of have this suspicion that he'll want more than the minimum. They're not going to use their taxpayers' mid-level on him. I could see a team like the Bucks maybe tapping into their mid-level to use him, and that would be an interesting fit because they've needed kind of some brute force up front. They have a bunch of nice length. John Henson is better than people make him out to be. Giannis at the five lineups have been statistically terrible for them, but that's something that's intriguing. You have Thon Maker, but I could see him ending up there. I honestly don't know where else though, just looking at teams that might need bigs.
Yeah, well, this is just adding another big man to the mix in a summer where it's terrible to be a big man.
Here's one that could be interesting. What if they decide to punt on Ed Davis and Nurkic and get Dwight Howard, who might be willing to sign for the minimum or a part of the taxpayers' mid-level? The Blazers, if that wasn't clear.
He would be kind of interesting there. They're a lot more susceptible to meltdowns than the Warriors, though.
Okay, here's a bold one then. Are you ready for it?
Yes, I am.
Rudy Gobert backs up Dwight Howard in Utah.
How dare you again? If he signed there at the minimum and was like the Ekpe Udo role, I have to qualify that statement. Derek Favors is gone, then the backup center is going to play like real backup center minutes. I don't think he's going to a small market to play backup center, though.
It'd be real. This is what Dwight Howard's career has become. If he's willing to play the FK Udo role, he could be a good fit.
I got to save that. That's going to be a tweet for the link once this is live.
I'm going to retweet that over and over. And just for the numbers crowd out there, the Giannis at the five lineups for Milwaukee, they were outscored by 8.5 points per 100 possessions, according to Cleaning the Glass. Their defensive rating was 116.2, which is the fourth percentile.
And I, like, for two or three years now, that's what I've always wanted to see from the Bucks. So maybe I was wrong, or maybe it just hasn't been used correctly yet. I don't know.
Maybe it's their scheme too. We'll have to see we'll see if Coach Bud even goes to it. But do you think?
Yeah.
My question to Dwight Howard, so much for us being super quick about this, do you think he's going to sign for the minimum or more than that?
I guess it depends on what kind of interest is out there. If the Warriors really did want him, I think he would probably sign for the minimum there, especially if his buyout has Brooklyn paying a chunk of the salary that he's got right now. That makes it easier to swallow that pill. But if he's going to... If there's no interest and he ends up going to some random middle of the road or end of the road team that has cap space, maybe he'll want a little bit more. But I can't imagine him approaching like even double figure millions, right?
No way.
Like, what would he max out at? Like 6 or 7 million a year?
I don't think there's a team out there that's going to give them their non-taxpayers mid-level. I struggle to see him even getting taxpayers mid-level.
What's the non-tax this year? 5 something?
8.6 million. The tax
one. No, the non-tax.
The non-tax.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Never mind. I'm asking about the tax one. That's my fault.
5.3 for the tax.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he got that or if he signed for a minimum. It really has been an interesting road to where he is right now. All right, I've got one from Willie Beeman at the Cool with like 6 or 7 O's. A team not really talked about are the Bucks. What are their plans in free agency? I feel like they have the personnel to dominate this three-point shooting league, i.e. length, athleticism, versatility, etc. What is stalling them?
They need to shoot more threes themselves.
Yeah.
That
part of the question was interesting to me because, exactly what you said. Keep going.
Their defense is to me what's stopping them because their offense isn't inventive enough, but you have kind of the talent to just get by with it. When you look at all the shot creators that they have, even Chris Middleton is basically their third best shot creator behind Giannis and Bledsoe. And that's kind of scary in itself. And if you bring back Jabari, you can do some interesting things there. Their defensive scheme just wasn't good. No team allowed a higher frequency of their looks at the rim for cleaning the glass. They were not good at defending corner threes. They were not good at defending threes, period, but they kind of just seeded corner threes with just uncomfortable frequency and allowed super high clips. Opponents shot 41.2% against the Bucks on corner threes last year, which is the sixth worst mark in the league.
There was some game, I think this was 2 seasons ago, but it was the same scheme, where the Jazz literally shot, it was like 20-plus corner three-pointers in one game against the Bucks. And they never adjusted.
Shout out Jason Kidd.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, for them this offseason, they don't have trade chips. When you look at, they have that pick commitment to Phoenix, so you're not going to trade future first rounders right now. You just really can't build many interesting trade packages because their best assets are kind of indispensable. Middleton, Bledsoe, Giannis. And then they're not going to have cap space. If you bake in Jabari Parker's cap hold, which is $20.3 million-ish, they're over the luxury tax line. They're over $125 million. They would duck below that if we assume that Teletovich's stretch salary comes off the books because of injury reasons. That's fully possible. But you're leaving yourself with very, very, very little wiggle room. And so is there another cost-cutting move they have in them? Are they even willing to use one of the taxpayers' mid-level exceptions? I don't know. And what type of players can they get with that? We mentioned Dwight Howard. Kyle O'Quinn might be a guy because it seems like they'll tilt toward size. That's really – I don't see them making many changes over the summer. This just for them has to be a matter of, to me, Coach Budenholzer is our Steve Kerr. What he did for the Warriors, we need him to do something similar for us.
And I think it's reasonable to believe that might happen. The biggest question to me, and I don't think this is a stretch, for the Bucks this season is what do they actually bring Jabari Parker back? And I think somebody else asked, and maybe I'll find their at later, but it was something like, at what point do the Bucks not match on Jabari Parker? Because he's a restricted free agent, so whatever deal he signs out there, the Bucks will have the opportunity to match. And like you just laid out, that could take him over the tax. And in the last couple years, there's not a ton of evidence that says that Jabari Parker and Giannis work super well together. I think they could talk themselves into, we need to see how it works with Coach Bud. Because I still think Jabari has a ton of talent. I just don't think he's been super well coached or developed, and I think he might look better in Budenholzer's system. But at the same time, Coach Budenholzer likes guys who play defense and who pass, and those aren't, you know,
things
necessarily things. Yeah, it's not what we think of with Jabari. And I'm not saying he can't add that. step to his game. It's just, it's a super interesting question, especially given the fact that we have this new coach coming in.
Listen to the net ratings for the Bucks with Jabari and Giannis on the floor since Jabari entered the league. 2014-2015 in 417 minutes, -5.7 per 100 possessions. 2015-2016, 1,785 minutes, -1 point per 100 possessions. 2016-2017, 1,207 minutes, -1.7 points per 100 possessions. 2017-2018, 335 minutes together, -6.3 points per 100 possessions. The samples are all over the place because of Jabari Parker's injuries, but there's not a lot of evidence to suggest that these two can work together. And it's probably because there's at least a little bit of positional overlap. You don't want to pigeonhole Giannis to anything, but Parker very clearly needs to be a four. You can't get by with him at the five, and you've already struggled to have Giannis play the five and field good defensive lineups. So putting those two together in those situations is an absolute disaster. I'm not sure that they'll be able to make it work long term. Maybe they do, again, like you said, with Coach Bud, but if anyone for more than $15 million a year, I'm not taking a flyer on him. I would draw that hard line in the sand. And if you think that his market's going to be above that, you should be trying to work on sign and trade scenarios before he signs an offer sheet.
I was going to try to add to your, okay, it did load for me. So like you said, they were -6.3 when Giannis and Jabari were on the floor together this season. When Giannis was on the floor without Jabari, Milwaukee was +4.9 points per 100 possessions. And I have a feeling that that trend would hold if we went back a couple years. I mentioned Chicago as a possibility, though I don't think it's a super likely one. Who else do you think might? Okay, here's 2016-17. I'm cutting myself off. I was just stalling anyway. Last year, Jabari, Parker, Giannis together, like you said, -1.7. When Giannis was on the floor without Jabari last year, Milwaukee was +4. So it's I think we could probably just keep going back, and it would look very, very similar all the way through. Is there anybody else that you think might actually throw that kind of money at him, like $15 million plus?
Nope. Not if they're smart.
I don't really think so either. And I think that means that at least for the first few months of the season before the trade deadline, that's probably where he'll be, is back on Milwaukee.
Maybe Atlanta could talk themselves into it if they get off.
Run to Old Navy. One day only, today, summer tees for the whole family are on sale. Just $4 for adults, $3 for kids and toddlers at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Hurry in or miss out. Ends tonight. Valid 6/29, select styles only.
Napa know-how.
Your broken AC may not be broken. It may just need a recharge with the Avalanche AC Recharge Kit. Just $39.99 plus an additional $15 prepaid Visa card by mail. Just pull the trigger and brr. The Avalanche AC Recharge Kit. Now $39.99 plus $15 prepaid Visa card. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer expires 6/30/18.
If they would have gotten off Bazemore's contract in that Doncic deal, maybe they would have considered it because they didn't draft big. He could be interesting there.
They got Omari Spellman, but that was with the last pick of the first round. So there's, you know, you're not worried about hurting his minutes. That is kind of interesting.
We do have some breaking news during this pod. I'm sure you saw it. LeBron James's agent informed the Cavs he will not exercise his $35.6 million option and thus will become an unrestricted free agent, according to Joe Varden of cleveland.com.
So I nailed one thing. Now I just need him to sign with the Lakers.
That increases the chances for them, just because his market now, if you just look, because teams need cap, you can do sign and trades, but for the destinations we're talking about, Houston to do a sign and trade, and I won't, just because Daryl Morey, who followed me and unfollowed me on Twitter a few months ago, FYI. But him and his team are like salary cap geniuses. It's just, if you're going to pay James Harden $30.4 million next year, and you're going to give Chris Paul anything close to the max, and you have to give LeBron James the max, there's almost no way that you can remain under the hard cap and keep Clint Capela and flesh out the roster with any of the guys you already have on it. That removes them and any other teams that might have kind of fallen in these pipe dream scenarios. The Boston Celtics were one, if he was even going to consider them. To me, it had to be an opt-in and trade. Same with Golden State. It kind of feels like now, I guess, it's between Cleveland and the Lakers. Is that reasonable to assume? And maybe the Sixers can nudge their way into the conversation?
Yeah, I keep forgetting about the Sixers, and that's probably not fair. I just, and we've talked about this a lot too, I just don't love the fit in Philly. Whereas with the Lakers, it's almost like a blank slate for him. So I think it's probably down to the Lakers and the Cavs, and I'm with that each little nugget that comes out, and this is a big nugget, I'm feeling more and more confident that it's going to be the Lakers.
Maybe I'm just being stubborn, and because I hope it's not. I, for some reason, still refuse to give up on Cleveland. And if he goes to Los Angeles, I'm not going to be critical of his thought process. He's not beating the Warriors with the Lakers. It's just that's no disrespect to their kids. It's no disrespect to the Paul George, Kawhi, LeBron James pipe dream. Any iteration of those teams are losing to the Warriors in five, and they might not even beat the Houston Rockets. That's just where I'm at.
He just needs to get Kevin Durant to go with him.
That would be...
That would make this one of the best off seasons ever. I would die.
Do you know it'd be hysterical too if Dwight Howard ends up signing in with the Lakers for the minimum after LeBron
that would
James
be
goes there.
That would be hilarious. That would be wild. Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Dwight Howard. Still not beating the Warriors.
No, they're not. Lonzo Ball, by the way, I can't believe the Spurs. I can believe it because of LeVar, but the reports that have been around for a while that the Spurs don't want Lonzo Ball has always been really puzzling to me.
Yeah, this is an interesting subtopic too. I posted a Twitter poll on this as well, and I said, Lakers fans, you can only pick one between Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball, and last I checked, Ingram had like 65%. I don't think people understand how good Lonzo Ball was this year.
I think it was
you, because I retweeted it, and now I see it on my timeline. That stat that you posted of him yesterday, him and Draymond, LeBron, and Ben Simmons are the only players to average 9 boards, 10 assists, 2 steals, and a block per 100 possessions. He's incredibly versatile.
Yeah, if the biggest problem is he's not aggressive enough as a scorer, that's not a problem. Kidd went through that a bunch of times throughout his career. You want Lonzo to be more aggressive coming out of the pick and roll, and he'll probably get there as he improves and gets older. I understand the jumper concerns, but I looked at it this way. He shot over his final 25 games last year, 33.7% from three. That's not great. It's passable, and it was for a Lakers team that was very poor at creating space on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
So I don't view it as the end of the world.
No, and I don't think it's – if he can just get to league average, that's plenty for me, and I don't think it's crazy to think that he can get there. The way that he moves the ball is just like – or unlike any other player in the league right now. I guess Ben Simmons is kind of close to him, but I just – I even thought this when I watched him at UCLA a little bit. I've never seen a guy, especially a point guard, so quickly get the ball and move it to the next guy. And the outlet passes and the breaks. And it's just, he's really fun to watch because he passes the ball in a way that's really unique and really effective, I think.
Just world better defensively than I think anyone realized as well.
That too, yeah. All right, I have some mailbag questions from Facebook, which is a departure for us. This is from Freddie Richard. Why wouldn't Paul George want to re-sign with the Thunder? Not could, but want. So I think he's basically saying, like, why isn't he coming back? What is out there that's better? Basketball-wise, I think there's some evidence that some players don't love playing with Russell Westbrook. Now, it sounds like Paul George is maybe not one of those players. He said a lot of things about how he did enjoy playing with Russell Westbrook, and there are reports out there that it's basically like the opportunity to play with Westbrook again is kind of what makes him want to stay. But he might be able to get more shots and have a bigger role somewhere else. Now, that may not be the case if he joins up with LeBron. But then in terms of just the fact that it's LA and that's where he's from, sometimes I think we put too much stock into that. Like the player wants to go back to his hometown, but it seems like the kind of thing that Paul George actually wants. I don't know him personally, and I don't really know anything about his inner circle or anything like that, but it just seems like he's the kind of guy who might crave that limelight a little bit more than others.
Do you kind of think that the fifth year Oklahoma City can and will offer is being undersold here? Just because Paul George, 3 or 4 years ago, suffers that devastating leg injury, and I would think that the extra year of security would have to mean something to him, than certain other guys, just to me.
He doesn't seem to have any lingering effects from that.
No, but I'm just saying...
So I don't know if there's any sort of a psychological block. There could be. That could be like lingering in the back of his head. One thing I was thinking, though, is it seems more and more like players are more into their freedom and their ability to go play wherever they want than that extra security. Like the report came out that Kawhi Leonard would rather play for the Lakers than sign that $220 million deal for the Spurs. And Kevin Durant obviously opted for a new location over the extra amount that OKC could offer him. It's like the era of player. I think somebody else has coined this, so I'm probably stealing it, but it's like the era of player empowerment, that they are in control of their own destinies, and all these sort of CBA mechanics that have been put in to try to keep players where they are, they're not really working right now.
I refuse. The Kawhi San Antonio Spurs situation is just so damn weird.
It is weird. It's probably, it probably doesn't make sense to compare that to many other situations because it really is unique.
Where do you think Paul George goes? Where's your prediction for that?
I'm going to say the Lakers for that still, too. I think that's the most likely.
Am I just a bleeding heart? I think he's going back to Oklahoma City. I must be.
Yeah. You have some sentimentality for these teams.
I'm naive as hell.
Keeping their players.
I think that's what it is. I don't know what happens.
So this will play into that answer. This is from Matt Huck on Facebook, too. If the Spurs send Kawhi Leonard to Boston and Paul George resigns with the Thunder, does LeBron stay in Cleveland? So basically, is he more likely to stay with the Cavs if there are no stars to join him?
100%.
Yeah, that makes sense.
100%. You can't, for him, knowing that he's a competitor, I don't think you can justify going there on your own right now.
It would be.
I would almost respect that more than if he went and just said, I'm a run this with the kiddies. That would be more interesting to me than him joining up with PG-13 and Kawhi Leonard just to get bounced in five games by Golden State.
In that case, they're like Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, LeBron James, and Julius Randle.
Julius Randle and LeBron on the same team is wild.
Yeah, that probably doesn't work. All right, let's jump back to Twitter. Let me see here. You think the supposed drop, this is from Ryan G at Dr. G Grizz. Do you think the supposed drop in market could be low enough for the Grizz to snag Barton, Will Barton, for the full mid-level exception? And I think we can expand this question a little bit.
He might be a player who suffers because he turned down that 4-year, $42 million extension from Denver last year. And I don't know what team is going to match that or give him more on the market. That's not an indictment on Will Barton, who I like and who you've just started to like. But you just look at the landscape, and even Denver now, they're going to give Nikola Jokic a max deal. They have tax concerns to worry about, and with Jokic's max deal and all their other cap holds on the books, including Barton's, they could have $140 million in salary. So even if you salary dump two of Plumlee, Fareed, Chandler, Arthur, you might still be hitting the tax while you re-sign Will Barton. And that should...
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be back in Denver.
Well, I want to get to that then, but I don't think he's the only team to me that's going to give him more than the mid-level would be Denver, because they're in his incumbent team. They can give him courtesy money, and they would probably, maybe they'll commit to paying the tax for a year because they can get flexible next year. And then they can also, there are stuff that they can do, but, or maybe the Pacers. Those are the two teams. And after that, though, I think he, like Avery Bradley, like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, like Trevor Ariza, like Tyreek Evans, I don't think those guys get more than the non-taxpayers MLE. I would be, if I had to pick one of them to get more, I would say it's Will Barton. But I don't feel confident in saying that.
No, I don't think that's crazy at all to think that that's where a bunch of guys top out this year. It's just an awful year to have randomly been a free agent if you're an NBA player. I'm going to throw at @G_Dukic, D-U-K-I-C, into that question too, because he asked us if the Nuggets would be able to keep Barton, and I think you already made the case. I don't think he's going to come back. Denver maybe can unload some money, and we've talked about that before, but I just think there's so many teams that are going to want to do that this summer that even that is going to be sort of a competitive thing. So I don't think it's a guarantee they can get off money, and, you know, they're paying a ton to Paul Millsap and Nikola Jokic and Gary Harris, and you have to make concessions somewhere. And I think Barton is going to be one of those mid-level guys this summer, like you said.
Where do you think he's going if it's not going to be Denver?
I have no idea. Grizzlies is an interesting spot, back to the original question.
Is he an upgrade over Tyreek Evans, though? They can't get both of those guys.
No, he's not. Tyreek Evans was really good.
They might just be on even ground. I probably trust Will Barton's body more than I do Tyreek Evans's.
That's probably true. But Tyreek Evans was good last year.
He was incredible, but we're talking about that, and
he's probably a mid-level guy too.
Right. Even would the Sixers give more than the mid-level to any of these guys that we just named?
I think for the Sixers, it would depend on if they whiff on all the other guys. If they don't land any of like the super big names, then yeah, I could see them maybe going a little bit higher for a guy like Tyreek Evans. But you have a little bit of redundancy there too, because he's a guy who commands the ball a lot, and I think you want the ball in Ben Simmons' hands as much as possible.
For sure.
Side note: I ran through almost 500 people on the 538 Carmelo projections.
Of course,
I think
you
it was
did.
Yesterday. It was 2 days ago.
I want to put that in the stats tweet.
Ben Simmons projects to be top 10 and wins above replacement player next year, according to their system.
Does not surprise
me. Pretty crazy.
He leads the 2016 rookie class in win shares, and he missed an entire season.
That's a good stat.
Is that not? I know win shares is that's a cumulative stat.
Yeah, that's
nuts.
Yeah, that one's got to go into a tweet as well. Ty Yeager at Ty Yeager Radio. Do you think the Mavs will land a big name big man in free agency? If so, which one? And I think they will. I just don't think it's going to be in free agency. I think the DeAndre Jordan trade is going to happen.
Which is just so he goes.
It's hilarious.
Can we think about just the through lines here? He goes from being the first member of Lob City to leave, to now he's the last remaining person with the Clippers, to now he's going back to the Mavericks,
whom
he signed with and then agreed to sign with and then walked away from in the first place. That is some good motherfucking theater.
Yeah, NBA Twitter, that still is like among the all-time great couple hours in the history of NBA Twitter, is the DeAndre Jordan free agency circus when... When he agreed to sign the Mavs, they locked him in a room and talked him out of it. That's like neck and neck with the Jerry Colangelo stuff to me. Or not Jerry, Brian.
I found the DeAndre Jordan just Twitter explosion was just a little bit more entertaining because it was so hysterical.
It was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they don't So here's some signs that are pulling. I think these are pretty obvious that are pointing to the DeAndre Jordan trade. The rescinding of the qualifying offers to guys like Doug McDermott and Salah Medri kind of hints at us that something is going on. I think he kind of fits. He had a little bit of a down year in some respects. Like, his block percentage was way down last season. He's getting older. I think he still makes some sense there. It doesn't like blow me away if they get him, but I get why they would do it. If they don't land him, that's a sigh of relief, I think, to other free agent big men this year, because that's one of the only spots that we've been talking about is like a big man destination. Who do you think they would get if they don't do the DeAndre Jordan trade? Or can they get anybody?
DeMarcus Cousins seems like a name that they would throw out there, and it kind of jibes with what it seems like they're trying to do. Derek Favors has been kind of mentioned, but I don't know if he's splashy enough for them. The Nurkic fit would be weird. It'd be funny if Dwight Howard ended up there after they tried to get him in free agency all those years ago.
Yeah. All right, let's do like two or three rapid fire, because you've got to go. Bleacher Report understandably wants you to tackle the
shout out LeBron.
LeBron James.
Tis the season where we're just at the mercy of everything he does.
Yeah. Okay, it wouldn't be a Hardwood Knox podcast without a Joe Harris mention. So
the streak is alive.
Barbecue Chicken at Camden_Cash asks, how much do you think Joe Harris can command? I'm of the mindset he's a 4-year, $24 to $28 million contract waiting to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if he got in that range. And I think he's very, very good, as listeners of this show know.
Taxpayers mid-level seems, I don't know if it's likely, but it seems reasonable for him.
Yeah. I think he's going to help whoever he goes to. He's an amazing shooter, and I think he's better at some other stuff than people realize. Brian Maxwell at the BMAX. I've been holding off from doing Jazz questions, but I can't hold off any longer.
Proud of you.
The team that's most likely to sign Exum with a deal that the Jazz refuse to match. I don't know if there's anybody, to be honest.
There are teams that need point guards, but Phoenix isn't going to – they would probably sooner offer money to Elfrid Payton than they would Dante Exum.
With the market the way it is, and Dante Exum still being as big of a question mark as he is, like I would be shocked if anybody offers him money that the Jazz would even blink at. I'm pretty sure he's going to be back there.
But I would be floored if he's not. And yeah. I can't think of a team that is going to spend money on him that the Jazz wouldn't match. Because even if Atlanta says, oh, we'll spend some money to just throw him in here and play him with Trae Young and counteract his defense, that they're probably offering money since they don't want to spend in the first place that the Jazz are going to be okay matching.
All right, let's do – I'm trying to find one more to go out on a high note. If the Lakers – I already lost it. I was about to ask it, and I lost it. It was basically center targets for the Lakers if Brook Lopez doesn't come back on the cheap. And they're going to need somebody cheap anyway if they sign two max free agents. Dwight Howard at the minimum. We already joked about that, but I don't know how many other starting caliber centers are going to want to play for the minimum.
Oh my God. I'm forgetting about Brook Lopez too. There are so many bigs. He would be interesting in Portland if he's super cheap. Again, if they want to go the alternative to Jokic, Nurkic. Jokic, wow.
Yeah.
They want to go the alternative to Nurkic route.
Nurkic was the alternative to Jokic for a little bit in Mike Malone's mind.
Boston, maybe, right, if they want to pick and pop big.
Well, he's asking who should the Lakers target if they don't have a center.
Oh. Bringing back Ed Davis would be nice, depending on how much he costs.
The
rim runner for them, I think. Nerlens Noel could be interesting there.
Ooh, that's a good one, too. And he might be willing to sign a smaller deal to kind of like rehab his image right now. We have a ton more questions, but both of us have stuff to do. You've got your LeBron reaction that you have to write, and I have a 6-hour mock multiple choice exam today that I'm hoping to get done in like 4 hours, but we'll see. So thank you to everybody who responded. If we weren't able to get to your questions, I apologize. You guys ask such good questions that it's like impossible for us to limit our answers. They always send us on these fun tangents and discussions, and I guess that's the point. So thanks again for your questions. If you want to follow Dan on Twitter, you can follow him at Dan Favale, F-A-V-A-L-E. I'm at Andrew D. Bailey. The show is at Hardwood Knox. The sponsor is at NBA underscore math. And as always, we implore you to rate the podcast, review it. If you're not subscribed already, you should go ahead and subscribe. Shout out to my brother, Mark Bailey, who finally subscribed to the podcast within the last
couple right
days.
Are you kidding me right now? I'm reverse shouting out Mark Bailey. He should have done that years ago.
He said, how do I find your podcast? And wow. So we got one more. I'm just happy that we got one.
I'm triggered.
Until next time, we leave you with the shout out to Benno Udry and to Kyle Anderson.
The Honda 4th of July sales event has brilliant deals on our most popular vehicles, like the Civic, Fit, and Pilot. It's a reason to celebrate across the country. From the Liberty Bell to Hollywood and even back up to Niagara Falls. So come discover the 2018 KBB.com best overall brand during the Honda 4th of July sales event. Now at your Honda dealer.
Based on 2018 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book, visit KBB.com for more information.